All right. It's a pleasure to be here with you. My name is Sam Spence. You'll see me back in the tech booth sometimes serving. Sometimes I'm back here in this clear cage on the drums. So it's good to see all smiling faces. This is going to be fun. So we've been in a series that Tim kicked us off last week called The Blessed Life, right? So last week, we learned a little bit about discipleship, what that means. So let's review here real quick before we jump into our topic today. So last week, we learned that blessed is rewarded of or enjoying happiness, bringing pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. And to live a blessed life, it's a process of good habits, wise choices, and putting Christ at the center of your life. So this past week, Pastor Tim and we all learned together that to live a blessed life, we need to become a disciple. And do y'all remember the definition of disciple? Pop quiz? It's all right, I got it up here, maybe. All right, a disciple, we learned, say this out loud with me, is a disciple is surrendered to God, changed by the Spirit, and living as Jesus. Fantastic. That's great. So keeping this in mind, this was a really short 2-minute review, but this is going to be important. This is the groundwork that we talked about last week. So this morning, we are going to take a field trip together. We're going to have fun. We're going to have some back and forth, and we're going to talk about a topic that, if you know me pretty well, I am extremely passionate about, and that is the topic of spiritual gifts. So before we jump in, I need to make sure we're awake, church. Okay, you guys look awake. But we're going to make sure, when I say gift, what comes to mind? Go ahead and shout some things out. Christmas. Ooh, yeah, what else we got? Well, that was just a blah, blah. Didn't hear that one. What was that? Yes, yes. Anything else? Weddings, yes. There are gifts at weddings. I forgot about that on Tuesday, though. Yes. So, yes, we have a wonderful teaching team that meets here on Tuesdays, and I practiced this to them, and I just stood there just staring. I was like, there's no gifts at weddings. But then I remembered there are. So when I think of presents or gifts, I immediately think about all the main gift-giving holidays in the United States. So if your family's similar to mine, we celebrate 8. And growing up, we celebrated some too. So that would include Valentine's Day. Gifts would be exchanged. You've got Easter. Growing up, I had an Easter egg hunt, and one year I couldn't find it, and it was in the oven. You know, they're just hidden everywhere. We have birthdays, and you have 2 a year. You know, you've got Mother's Day, Father's Day. Do you guys celebrate Sweetest Day?
Nope.
That's good. Okay. That's a whole different message. Don't get me started. And we've got Christmas. That's the big day, right? And if you're married, you've got anniversary. So that means 8 times a year in the Spence household, gifts are being exchanged. So let's do a survey real quick, all right? Like I said, I'm going to need y'all's help, all right? It's us today. It's about us. So quick survey. By raising your hands, how many of y'all have ever met somebody that gives the perfect gift? Like the perfect gift. Like they're always thoughtful. So maybe you're here today. How many of you guys are the perfect gift giver? And it's okay to brag in church. Sam Spence, 2021, you can brag in church, right? We've got some good gift givers in the house. That's good. So when I think of the perfect gift giver, I think of these people are like the Facebook marketplace ads. They pop up in your newsfeed. They know what you want. They heard you telling a friend from 50 feet away. You know, they've been spying on you. They've been going through your browser history. They know what you want, when you want it, what year, what color, every single detail. Do you guys know people like that? Isn't that frustrating? I'll explain why that's frustrating in a minute. So if you were paying close attention, I raised my hand when I said I knew the perfect gift giver. Okay? And that's because I married one. And you find out real quick you're not a good gift giver when you marry a good gift giver. So publicly bragging about my wife, she is fantastic at giving gifts. And like some of the people you mentioned, you know good gift givers. They know what you want. It's thoughtful. Sometimes it's homemade, right? I tried to make a homemade gift once, and it looked like a ransom letter. Like it had magazine cutouts, and I don't do homemade. And so here's when things get funny, All right? Because if you know Chelsea and I, if you've been to our house, or especially if you're in our small group, my wife and I are polar opposites. When they say opposites attract, they do. Trust me. Because we couldn't be more different, and we're so different, we would make a great sitcom sometimes. Because the looks that I get and the looks I give her are priceless. It's fantastic. So I mentioned Chelsea was a great gift giver. So guys, what's the opposite of a great gift giver? A very, very, very bad. Because Chelsea's a very, very, very good gift giver, so I'm over here, right? Right. And we'll do another survey. Where are my terrible gift givers at? There were a lot of men's hands. Yeah, there's some fingers pointing, too. Yikes. Yeah. Woo. All right. Fun stuff. Yeah. So I'm a horrible gift giver, and all the other guys and gals that just raised their hands, you get me. So when you're a horrible gift giver, there's some anxiety that comes with gift buying, isn't there? Yeah, and there's also a date that you have to remember. Yeah. Yeah, that means 8 times a year, first I have to remember a date, and that doesn't go well. And then second, I have to get a gift, and I'm the kind of guy that waits till 3 days before the event, you know, and Amazon Prime better show up when it does. We got any of those people too? There's some more fingers. That's great. So this one year, I got to tell you guys this. This is funny, and I asked my wife if I could share this. This was our first Christmas. She had just moved up from Houston, Texas, so she was experiencing her first Ohio winter, and luckily it was a very mild winter. If she experienced this winter, she might have went back. But we had a really mild winter that year, and I was feeling pretty good about myself this Christmas. I was like, I know what I'm going to get her. You know, we set a budget every year, and there was this one item I kept coming back to. And you guys are going to laugh when I tell you, but I went to weathertech.com. I went to the custom-fitted car mat section. Then I went to the laser fit section. And then I got the extra deep trays, and before long, I spent our entire Christmas budget for Chelsea on one gift: car floor mats. Okay? So you guys are laughing, and I wish I would have realized that. They say hindsight's 20/20, but I remember Christmas Day, my wife being a good gift giver, she makes the budget go much further, and she might cheat, I don't know. She doesn't cheat, I know that. But she gets out this big pile of gifts that she bought in our budget, and I pull out this one gift that's this big. And so I'm opening my 12, and she's waiting, and then she opens the floor mats and goes, "Oh, thanks, babe." She didn't love it. So, side note to the car lovers, men or women in the room, like, that's not the best gift, all right? I did not do well. So how many of you guys can relate to that story? A lot of hands and a lot more fingers. That's great. We give bad gifts sometimes. I give bad gifts almost all the time. So here's where we're going. We're having a little fun. So here's what we're going to talk about today. God has given us unique gifts called spiritual gifts. And since we're talking about a gift is given, therefore it cannot be chosen or earned. Okay, think about that. A gift cannot be chosen or earned, it is gifted. And we have all been given spiritual gifts. So if you guys grabbed an outline on your way in, if you don't have one, it's okay, you can stand up and go get one now because you're going to need it, okay? I forgot to warn First Gathering about that. You're going to need it for later, so don't feel bad. So before we jump in, I want us all to be on the same page about what spiritual gifts are. And there's something you need to understand. So I'm talking to the Christ followers in this room, and if you're not a Christ follower, come on in. It's awesome. It's easy. We'd love to have you. So when you become a Christ follower, you let Jesus into your life, you receive these gifts. Okay? They're given to you. They cannot be earned or chosen, but you're given these to use and to serve. So this is fill-in number one on your outline of what is a spiritual gift. Okay? Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities for the purpose of building his kingdom. Write this down for me. We're going to come back to this here in a bit. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities for the purpose of building his kingdom. So let's jump into scripture. We're going to be in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and I'll do my best to read this, but y'all can read along as well. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So right off the bat, guys, we see that Jesus gave the apostles, gave prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And why? We see right here in verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. And why do we do that? So the body of Christ may be built up. So let's keep going. We got a lot of scripture to get through, and it's going to be great. So until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each work does its part. Sorry, I forgot I had verse 16 in there as well. So do y'all hear the importance of serving? So here's the truth this morning. I'm just going to get right to it. You belong. You matter. You have been gifted. You have been equipped just the way you are to serve the body, being the church, Christ. That's what we just read. So now that we know what is a spiritual gift, I want to look at what's not a spiritual gift. And if y'all have been through Growth Track, this is a little bit of review, but this is okay because we all need to be on the same page here while we talk about this. So let's look at what is not a spiritual gift. In your outline, you'll see three blanks. I mean, there's a lot of blanks, but we got a purpose for that. We'll get to that later. So number one, spiritual gifts are not, write this down, natural strengths or abilities. Spiritual gifts are not natural strengths or abilities. And this would be football. You are naturally good at football. Or maybe you like throwing a line in the water and going fishing, right? These are natural abilities. Or you're really good at working on stuff, a mechanic or a carpenter. Spiritual gifts are not natural strengths or abilities. Spiritual gifts are also not character traits. So this would be maybe someone who's a really good listener. Or their demeanor's happy. You know, these are character traits. These are not spiritual gifts. Then moving quickly, spiritual gifts are also not self-promoting. It's a huge red flag when someone starts boasting about their spiritual gift because that is not the Spirit's work inside of them, okay? So this is really important. Spiritual gifts are not self-promoting. So reviewing here real quickly, if you missed one, we'll put them all three up here. So we have spiritual gifts are not natural strengths or abilities. They're not character traits. Spiritual gifts are not self-promoting. So spiritual gifts are gifts. They are God-given abilities for the purpose of building his kingdom, serving his community, and the church. Those three things. And like we said, these cannot be earned. They cannot be chosen. They are gifted. So I'm really, really proud to be a part of a church like New Hope that talks about difficult things. And this can be a difficult thing to talk about because in researching and getting ready for this about a month ago, I was curious to get a statistic. On average, how many people serve, are connected, and use their gifts in the church? And I was shocked, and it wasn't really in a good way. So I don't remember if this was Barna Research Group or another, but this is factual. I'm not fibbing to you, okay, if that's what you're wondering. I am fact-checked. So the national average is 20 to 25% of all church attenders serve their church. And being even more curious, I got Nikki on the phone. And I said, hey, Nikki, I said, I'm looking at this online, this statistic. It says only 20 to 25% of church attenders serve. Like, that's wrong, right? And I go, what's our statistic? And she goes, 20 to 25? And I'm like, oh, we fall into the national average. So that includes ushers, kids wing, greeters, musicians, sound booth. Guys, that's 1 in 4 people. That's 80% of the church body's not functioning. Does that number shock anyone? Shock me. I'm here about every week, and I'm kind of a happy-go-lucky guy, and I saw that, and I was like, ooh, something's wrong. But guys, let me tell you, that didn't shock Nikki and our church staff, because historically, in Western Christianity, in the American church, this has been the number. Historically, in our church, in our 15 years of existence, this has been our number. So guys, this is why we need to talk about this. Why are we not engaged? Why are we not serving? Why are we not using our gifts? Because we see very clearly in Scripture what we're called to do. And I'll blame this on comfort. The American church is extremely comfortable. And we've seen, even through this pandemic, the lengths we'll go through to not even come to church. You know? Any excuse will do to stay home and not serve others. And it's been sad. I've had to say bye to many friends. But we've got this joke in our house. We won't sit on that. And I think it applies here. Have you guys ever been made to do something you're really not into? I'll give this example. I give it First Gathering. So you're a parent and you have a daughter and does ballet. And she says, Daddy, will you come to my ballet concert? What are you going to say? Sure. Not yes, honey, but sure, I'll be there. So you get there 5 minutes before it starts or 5 minutes after, and you sit there and you do it, but maybe it's not like a football game and you're cheering, but you're there, right? So in my house, like, things like this happen in my family too, and I call it becoming the minimum effort champion. And it is literally how little effort you can put into something and get it done. Okay, this is like when something breaks in the house and you grab the duct tape and the self-tappers, right? And as men, we can pride ourselves in how little can I care and get the job done. Do you guys relate to me? There is a sense of pride in that. I see some no, fix it right the first time, right? But that happens sometimes. So here's the tension. Like, we all have these moments in life. We don't care. We're going to do the minimum effort just to get by. Just to get it over with. Do you think God wants us to be minimum effort champions, as we call it in the Spence house? I don't think so. Do you think God wants us to be invested in our church, invested in our community, invested in each other, joining small groups, getting equipped through growth track, starting the equip process? Absolutely. Here's what's really cool, and we're going to touch on this later. But God loves ordinary people, okay? We see time and time again, this is in your notes, God takes ordinary and makes it extraordinary. And if you guys read the same Bible that I read, you see God take ordinary, 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 broken, ordinary, and make it extraordinary. God can take a Long John Silver snack pack and feed 5,000 people. That's extraordinary, guys. If we simply allow God to use us ordinary people, the extraordinary can happen. But friends, it's not always that easy, okay? I realize that. I've been there. I'm living in that now. I understand it, but this is why we as a church need to talk about spiritual gifts, okay? So we're going to spend most of our time here this morning talking about what keeps us from serving, what keeps us from embracing who God made us to be, accepting our spiritual gifts, serving our church, family, our community. And what I've discovered in thinking about this, all of us in this room have already made a choice in our past about serving. we all sit or stand here today having made a decision about serving. Maybe for you, you don't know what your spiritual gifts are and you've chosen that. Okay? Maybe for here, you're serving and you've chosen that. And we're gonna come back to this. So I'm going to offend everybody in this room this morning in one swoop, okay, here in a little bit. You guys ready? I'm going to even offend myself. So let's look at some reasons why 80% of the church doesn't serve, okay? So let's start here. And this is Sam's opinion, okay, which is scary. So this is the number one reason that Sam believes that people don't serve. And this is in your worship bulletin as well. People don't serve because they do not know or understand their spiritual gifts. So if you're sitting here today, you have accepted Jesus into your life, and you do not know your spiritual gifts, you are 100% absolutely missing out. You are missing out on something greater that God has for you because he has gifted you, he has given you unique gifts, spiritual gifts, to serve the body, to serve others. So we were talking about presence earlier, and I want to bring that back up. So think about somebody in your life who's really special to you. Okay? You got it? I see some smiles and some people looking at each other. Y'all are adorable. So you got somebody in mind, right? Now imagining you have the perfect gift. It's like you were in the store and it's glowing and you have the light bulb. Yes. It's not floor mats. But for you, you know what it is. Okay, you don't know what it is, but it's there. So imagine this person, you deeply love them, you get them this gift, it's awesome. So then you wrap it up, their favorite wrapping paper, favorite color, it's got a nice bow, to from tag, and then you go and you present it to them. And you're like, I love you so much, I have this for you. And then they just step back, they cross their arms and ignore you. Or say, I don't want it. How does that make you feel? If it was me, they'd be getting two more gifts. Right? You parents in the room, imagine having your kids Christmas Day look at you in the face and say, I don't want your gifts. Would that hurt? Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk about this a little more. And I brought a little friend with me, and I've been planning on using him for quite a while. And he became famous here as of late, but he was able to squeeze us in. So we've got a potato here. He's missing some parts. I think I put all the parts back in here. So we're going to use this guy. I'm going to set our naked potato friend right here. He can stare at you all creepy. And we're going to go back to Ephesians here. And we're going to discuss what we already read. We're going to talk about it again. So this is Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. So let's review this together. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So let's look at our little naked potato here. All right, we're going to have fun. We're going to play with toys. It's all right. We're adults. Okay? So we've got some parts here. We've got one ear. I don't know where the other one went, but that's all right. So this could be, we need to say this is the body. This is the body of Christ, if I didn't clarify that. This is the church body, the naked potato, okay? And we've got some spiritual gifts. So this ear is going to be the gift of compassion because we need people in the church that listen for needs to have compassion. We've got the gift of discernment, which could be the nose in this awesome stash. Because the gift of discernment is to kind of sniff out the way the enemy's working in the church and also to sniff out the good things that the Holy Spirit's doing. We've got these cool arms that fit barely. That's upside down. Hold on. There we go. We've got these arms, and these are the gift of hospitality. A lot of your ushers may have this gift because they're waving to people or they're giving a hug like that, right? And we've got these feet right here, and this is the gift of evangelism because the church needs to walk, right, into the community to be the church. We have a mouth right here, and this could be the gift of teaching, prophecy, exhortation. And the best part, I love this hat. They need to make those for people, not potatoes. Look at that. And this could be the gift of shepherding. Because this hat is going to protect him from the sun, the rain. We need people with the gift of shepherding to protect the church. So we've got some parts on the potato. We've got some eyes right here. So the tension in our first point I want to talk about, what keeps people from serving, how can you serve the body, the potato, if you don't know what your spiritual gifting is? Okay, you can't. That's the reality. If you don't know what your gift is, you cannot serve the body. You cannot be connected. If you have accepted Jesus, you've allowed him into your life, but you do not know your spiritual gifts, you are missing out. God has called you to serve the body. And I want to touch on this real quickly, and we'll move on. Maybe you're here today, and you're serving in an area of ministry. Maybe it's an usher in the cafe, and this position is starting to feel like an obligation. You don't feel fulfilled. You come energized. You leave drained. I would bet that you are not serving in your giftedness. Because we see when we serve, when we step into our gifts, supernatural, extraordinary things happen. You fill up yourself and you fill up other people. So let's use our potato head. Let's consult our potato head right here. It's a weird sentence. So let's say we've got our guy, right? Our potato head. We've got the body. We've got all the, well, we had some parts. That's where the other ear went. It probably fell off. All right, so we got all our parts. So maybe for you, you're serving as an usher, and that would be the gift of hospitality is required because you have to welcome people, make them feel happy, okay? So you'd be the arms. We'll put that right there. Maybe for you, being an usher is exhausting, or you kind of dread it. You don't feel fulfilled. And as I mentioned before, that may not be your spiritual giftedness. Because when you use your gifts, supernatural things happen. Now, church, I want to address this real quick. I'm not saying quit your ministry today and say, see you nerds. You know what I mean? Let's look at the potato, right? We're going to say that a lot. We're going to look at the potato. So let's use this example again. If you're serving as an usher, you're feeling discontent, you're tired, you're really not looking for it, like forward to it. So you have the arms here. Let's say you just up and quit one day and say, I'm not gifted, I'm done. What does that do to our church body if you just quit? Yeah, you rip his arms off. And how can you give a hug? Well, you can give a hug without arms, but you get what I'm saying, right? You're important. So what I'm saying is there's a right way to do it. Okay, if you are currently serving outside of your giftedness today, you need to talk to your ministry leader. Not to say I quit, but to say here's what I feel. Because we are a church that wants you to walk into your giftedness. We want you to live a blessed life. We want you to thrive. And we want to get you plugged in and help you through this process. We're here to help you. We just don't want you to quit, to get burnt out. Because you have a calling and you might be serving outside of your giftedness. So here at New Hope, if you don't know your spiritual gifts, you're going to have some homework today. Okay? It's okay. You can get through it. So if you don't know your spiritual gifts, on your way out, on a table just like this, we have a spiritual gift test. And this will break it. It's just a series of questions. It's going to tell you what your spiritual gifts are. So step one, you need to discover your spiritual gifts if you don't know them. Step two, if you haven't been to Growth Track, you should probably do that too. Growth Track's amazing. It's a 4-Sunday deal. And we will actually talk about spiritual gifts in the Growth Track as well. So you guys with me? We got some homework. And also, if I described what you're feeling, please don't quit today. Go talk to a ministry leader, because I know every ministry leader here, and I know that they would walk with you through this process, because we want to thrive. We want the extraordinary to happen. We want to be fulfilled. So we're going to move on, but we're going to come back. So we'll put this, thank you, Mr. Potato Head. We're going to move on to our next point. And again, this is Sam's opinion of why people don't serve. So this is point number two, fill in the blank. So when you use your, no, this isn't a main point. I just missed a slide. So this is important too, by the way. We talked about this. I did that first gathering too. So number two, okay? This is Sam's opinion of what keeps us from serving, and that would be time, selfishness, other investments. This is a big one, okay? So I want us to reflect all together, what gets you out of bed in the morning? Okay, just take a moment. What consumes your thought pattern throughout the day? What gets you excited? You guys got something? Yeah, some shoulder shrugs. Yeah, we got something, we can work with that. So think about it this way. What do you invest your time in? What do you invest your money in? What do you invest your resources in? So I'll give you some examples. So some of y'all are Browns fans again, right? I say again, but some of the best fans out there, right? So, but I'm talking about maybe you're the Browns fan that has season tickets. Okay, I don't know if anybody in this room, but you've invested in the Browns. If it's 10 degrees out and snowing, you're going to be up there with your face painted, your dog chain necklace, with maybe your chest painted, twirling your towel around, you know? Why do you do that stuff? It's because you're invested, right? Or think about it this way. I love cars. I love trucks. I love stuff. We all invest time, money into things. Maybe for you, you saved up your money. You got this dream truck, this dream car. You invested time, you invested money to get that truck. And I guarantee you, you're still investing in that. Maybe you're getting the WeatherTech laser fitted, all blah, 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 floor mats, you know, the really expensive car wash that's like $12 with the secret wax, you know, whatever that is. But we still invest in that. And guys, I want to communicate this clearly. There's nothing wrong with being a Browns fan, okay? There's nothing wrong with investing in nice things. But when you invest time in something, time is taken away from something else. That's the truth. When you come home from work and you go back to your back office and you go back to work, are you investing time in your family? You're taking time from your family for work, right? When you invest time in something, you're taking time away from something else. Are you investing in your kids? Are you investing in your relationship with God? Are you making time for small group, investing with other believers? Are you investing in your church? And here's what gets really scary. I'm not a parent. But what does this say to your kids, how you invest your time? Do you tell your kids, hey, we're going to church? Or are we going to serve the church? Because everybody can go to church. But can everybody serve the church? We see 20% are serving the church. What are we telling this next generation? I heard this from a really good friend, and I decided to throw it up on here to talk about. We as humans, we are naturally good at spending time. Okay, I'm naturally good at spending time and money, right? Yeah, there's a lot of us in there, right? I'm good at both. But let's think about this. What would happen if we invested that time? Think about some of the wealthiest people. They're pretty good at investing their money, right? How influential can we be to other people if we invested that time rather than spend it? Crazy. How would our relationships look different? How different would my family look? How would my relationship with God look? Do you think your relationships would thrive? Absolutely. Just like money, when we spend time, it's gone. You don't get it back. But also like money, when you invest time, you get it back. You see, when you invest time in people, serving people, joining a small group, in return, they bless you back. We see in Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. When you invest in people, in relationships, in the church, benefits come back to us as well. When times get tough, these people are going to be there for you. These are going to be the people that challenge you to be a better person, a better parent, a better husband, a better Christian, a better everything. You begin to live what we're calling this series, a blessed life. We're walking into God's calling for us. So if I haven't offended you yet, I'm going to offend you now, and I'm going to offend myself probably, because this is going to be an equal offense opportunity. So I want to challenge some more people in the room here today, and if you're online with us as well, with a question. Okay, we're going to use our potato head. And this question is, if you only come to church on the weeks you serve, are you actually helping the body? Are you actually invested in the church? Are you connected? So let's come to our little potato buddy. Okay, he's pretty well assembled. He's missing an ear still, but that's okay. So we've got compassion, we've got hospitality, and we're going to take off his eyes for this part. Okay, and the eyes could be the gift of service. Okay, because the spiritual gift of service is always on the lookout for ways to serve. Okay, so we've got the gift of service here. So remembering that the church body is the potato, let's say you have this gift of service. Okay, God has given you this, and you only come and serve once a month. What happens? That means once a month, the church can see. Then when you leave, it's gone. What kind of quality of life does our friend have here? Not great. He can't see too good. What happens is we choose, we have made a choice to disconnect. That's the truth today. You have chosen to disconnect. And here's what happens when we only come to church on the weeks we serve. What happens is the church has been waiting for you to come back. Okay? The church has been missing its sense of vision so it can bless others. So if you claim that you're a part of the church body, and you only come when you serve, you have made that choice. And what happens is you are missed so much that other body parts actually have to work harder to cover for you outside of their gifting. So here's what happens. When other parts have to work hard, when you're not here, does that look right? No, that don't look right. How well can he see now, you know? And here's what's really cool. So at the camp, I work with a program called VIP Camp. And there's a blind man named John. And I actually didn't know this until actually meeting a blind person. But when someone is blind or they lose a major sense, did you know their other senses have to get better to help the body survive? That's crazy. But it applies here too. When you are not here, when you choose to disconnect, you have ears that have to try to be eyes. You have noses that try to be eyes. You have arms that try to be eyes. It's not right. You guys get what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be harsh, but we have, lost his mouth again, but we have a wonderful toy from Hasbro. We're not sponsored by Hasbro yet. And we have scripture to help us learn this. So maybe you're here today and you know your gifts. Let's say you're here, you serve, and maybe for you, you have the gift of exhortation. This is my number one giftedness. So this is to minister words of encouragement, to spur others on, to empower people, to comfort others, so that they can be all God wants them to be. Okay, so that in this situation, this would be the mouth. So myself, and a lot of us in this room, I'm tying myself in too, we know our spiritual gifts. We come every Sunday ready to use them. But as soon as church is over, whoop, time to go on with my week. What happens? The mouth's gone if you can't see it. So that means 6 out of 7 days, the church is left without a mouth. So how is the church effectively able to communicate? To lift each other up, to spur each other on, or maybe this is the gift of preaching. or prophecy. Man, all his parts are falling off. So what I'm saying, how can the church function properly if it's mute 6 out of 7 days a week? How can the church function to its full potential if we choose, it's a choice, to disconnect? We're making that choice. So my challenge for you today, if you're not serving because of time, selfishness, other investments, are you investing in things that matter? Okay? If you're currently serving in a ministry but only come when it's your week to serve, guys, what are you accomplishing by that? I'm just going to challenge you. What is that doing? Are you helping? Are you hurting? So I challenge you, if you fall into one of these categories today and you're feeling convicted, it's my prayer that you'd walk into that conviction to say, you know what, I may have chose wrong in the past, but I'm going to choose what's right now. I'm going to say, God, I'm sorry. I want to rediscover my gifts, and it's time for me to get involved. It's time for me to be all in. And guys, we're going to do something really cool here soon, something I haven't experienced in a while. So hang with me if you fall into one of these categories. We're going to go on to point number 3. I'm going to remind you again, this is Sam's opinion on why people are not connected and serve with their spiritual gifts. So number 3 is fear, past wounds, and feelings of inadequacy. So we're going to do another survey. We're going to have some fun. How many of y'all have ever been told you're not good enough? Maybe you're not, yeah, there should, honestly, about every hand should be up. You're not good enough for football. Maybe you got let go from a job. Like, the reality is, we have all been told we're not good enough. And again, I'm going to brag on New Hope. I'm glad we're a church that addresses these traumas. Pastor Jim did a fantastic job a few weeks ago talking about taking your thoughts captive. And what happens is people tell us all these things, okay? We're told we're not good enough. We're not pretty enough. We're not skinny enough. Buy this product, you'll be prettier. Do this, you'll be cooler, right? They're doing it to our kids now in commercials, you know? Like, you got to do this to be this. So what happens is when we listen to this for so long, we absorb it and we start to believe it ourselves. And this is when things get really scary. When we start to believe that ourselves, then we make a connection in our brain that I'm this way and I'm so broken, God can't even use me. And let me tell you, I'm going to stand here and tell you that is the biggest lie from the pit of hell. Who told you that God cannot use you? Because it wasn't God. When people buy this lie that God cannot use them, they buy the biggest lie ever. This is what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to wallow in self-pity in a corner and be upset. He would love it if you just sat and did nothing. Maybe you're here today and you're your own biggest critic. Maybe you've screwed some stuff up in the past and you still think about it. Man, I can't believe I did this. Maybe in doing so, you haven't forgiven yourself, and in doing so, you're saying, God, I don't accept your forgiveness. Here's the problem. Have y'all read the Bible? Golly, our God is the God of making ordinary people extraordinary. Who's heard of Abraham and Sarah? Yeah, some hands. Anybody tell me how old Sarah was when she had a child? 90? Yep. Do you know any 90-year-olds having kids? No, I don't. If you do, come talk to me afterwards. That's awesome. So, extraordinary, church, right? That's not maybe an ordinary situation, but that was extraordinary. Insane. Let's look at some more people that were used in Scripture. Joseph was abused, sold by his family, thrown in a pit into slavery. Job was bankrupt. Moses had all sorts of issues, but he had a speech problem, a stutter. He couldn't communicate clearly. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Jeremiah was young. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ three times. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was small, money hungry, greedy. Paul was a Pharisee who killed Christians before becoming one, and Lazarus was dead. Okay, church, if God can use a dead man, a dead vessel, to bring his glory, what is our excuse? Because I don't see one. The Bible I read, I don't see an excuse. What makes your sin, your brokenness so special that God can't use you? Who told you you're not good enough? Because it wasn't God. What happens is we get into our own heads. There's a battle for your mind taking place. Every day, people tell us we're not good enough every day. The world is great at drilling that into you. So we have to come at it. If you're experiencing these feelings of self-worth, I challenge you. I'm going to give you some homework, okay? First of all, I want you to go back and listen to Pastor Jim's message from a few weeks ago talking about taking your thoughts captive, okay? Like I said, there's a battle in your mind. Second, I want you to open your Bible app. And there is an awesome, it's a five-day study called Discover Your Purpose. And it's about spiritual gifts and serving. We need to defeat this lie. We need to attack this battle in our mind and say, you know what, I am good enough. Because look, to open up the book, to put your finger on it, to go through that list and say, I'm good enough. So what's going to happen is I want you all to have your bulletins handy. And I know we took a lot of notes for a reason. But our worship team's making their way up here. And they're going to play a song called Available. And I don't know if you've heard this before. It's not a very popular song. But I came across it a few weeks ago. And this is my last point I want to leave up here. And here's the truth. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. So here's the cool thing. That means you don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to have money. You don't have to be good at talking. You don't have to be the CEO, be rich. You don't have to have a nice house, nice things. You don't have to be a good cook to invite people over. God can and he will use you if you're available. So with your worship programs, your notes in your hand, what we're going to do, the worship team is going to play this song, and I challenge you, we've all made a choice here. Maybe that choice for you is to play ignorance. I don't know what my gifts are, and you just sit on your hands. Maybe you're serving somewhere and you're not feeling fulfilled. You know, you've made a choice to serve or to not serve. So I want you to have your bulletins ready. I want you to reflect on where am I? Take some time. If you want to sit, if you want to stand and sing, do that. Are you available? Let's sing this song together. Thank you. So, church, looking at your notes, are you available? I want to move into our action step time and just kind of review. So today, if you don't know your spiritual gifts, I think it's time you find out. You've been given a gift. Are you going to accept that gift? Are you going to learn about it and how to use it? If that's you, grab a spiritual gifts test packet in the back. Fill it out, send it back to us. You're a part of this body. Maybe for you, myself included, we realize we're investing too much in other areas of life. Or maybe you're coming and you're using your gifts just one Sunday a month or one Sunday a week and choosing to disconnect. I think it's time we make a choice to reconnect, to stay connected, to use our gifts 7 days a week, every day, all month, not just for an hour on Sunday morning church. Are we available? Maybe today you're fighting this battle in your mind, this battle of self-worth. People cause all sorts of wounds to other people. And maybe this is boiling up some of those emotions and feelings again. I would challenge you, now's the time to work on that. Maybe for you, it's time to write counseling on the Connect card. Maybe talk to somebody about what you're experiencing. Because who told you you're not good enough? It's a lie. We need to attack those thoughts. So go back, listen to Pastor Jim's message. Take those thoughts captive, and if that's not working, it's time to get help. And we have help. It's here. It's safe. It's secure. It's private. Just sign up on your Connect card, and we'll reach out to you. So church, who wants to be ordinary? But who wants to be extraordinary, guys? Yes. Let's make a choice today. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for New Hope Church, and I thank you for the opportunity to share what you've shown me and just to be here this morning, God. I thank you for everybody in this room and every unique and special gift you've given, because you are the perfect gift giver, God. I pray for those that need to make some choices this morning, God. I pray that conviction can come, Lord, and we can begin to walk into what you've laid out and explained for us, God, so we can better serve the body. Father, we love you and thank you for these spiritual gifts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.